Hi guys, it's Real Talk with Tracy. I hope everybody's doing good out there today. What do I want to talk about today? I want to talk about, and I don't know if it's family trauma. I'm not exactly sure why my mother's side of the family is like so evil and narcissistic. I have this on both sides of the family, but on my mom's side of the family, I think you know if you've listened to my podcast that my aunt raised me, my aunt and uncle, and it was kept a family secret until I was 12 years old when she had a nervous breakdown and she told me that her sister was really my mother and that she was just a glorified babysitter. And that everything has been about me and it's all going to be about her and everything's going to change. And she became a monster in the house and she was abusive. And at age 15, I went to my teachers and I put myself, they helped me get away from the house and what was happening. And I went into foster care. And I've spent years and years and years on the shrinks. I want to say the couch, but I never laid down. I was always sitting up. I spent years and years trying to process this, trying to work through this, trying to get past the fact that my uncle was so verbally critical, which I think is very abusive and cruel. When you tell a little girl that they're fat, they're stupid, they're going to amount to nothing. You know, they're never going to be anything when they grow up. You're never told you're beautiful. So these are the things that I grew up with. And the story, I can't even get into the depths of it right now because what I want to talk about is my mother's brother. My mother's brother, who lives in Monterey, his picture was always on my grandparents' wall. There was a huge picture of him, almost like you have the picture of Jesus. Like, you know how sometimes you walk into someone's house, like my house, I have a big picture of Jesus, of his face on my wall. So the picture of my uncle, right when you walked into my grandparents' apartment, was on the wall. It was a black and white photo, and he was really good looking, and they would talk about him. And they would talk about him, and they idolized him. He was good looking. He was Mr. Olympia at one time. He was an international vice president, or no, international president from a huge company where he made a lot of money and he flew all over the world. And he was very powerful and you know, bought this huge house in Monterey. And they idolized him. And because they idolized him, and I remember just seeing him a couple times as a kid, he brought me a couple presents. You know, I have a memory of that. Then I saw him later when they lived up by him and his first wife, I guess, when they lived up north. Anyway, really always idolized kind of my uncle because he was so successful and because everybody in the family was like, he's so this, he's so that, he's so great. So my husband and I went and visited him about 30 years ago, and I would talk to him on the phone, and I met his second wife, who I like a lot. She's really great, and I would talk to them on the phone, and I hadn't seen him after that, but I would ask his professional advice when I had my corporate job with L'Oreal. He was really informative, and we had some really great conversations, and it's not like I would talk to him all the time. It was like maybe, I don't know, twice a year, but that went on maybe two or three times a year on the phone. We'd have a really good conversation. That went on for about, I don't know, 20 years, 25 years. So I thought there was a connection there. And I remember telling him at one point, I love you. And all he could say back to me was, thank you. He couldn't say, I love you too, you know, nothing. So he had two kids that he doesn't talk to. One recently passed away. Sounds like he was a bad seed, had a lot of problems. And I've talked to his wife and we've gotten really close and she's a lovely person. And I long to go see him. I long to see him and visit him because my aunt that raised me, who was very abusive, has died. And her sister, who is my biological mother, has died. And he's one of the few people left in the family. And I know that he has a lot of family pictures. He has a lot of family stories. Maybe stories of when things were good. Maybe stories of when things, before everything fell apart, which he doesn't want to acknowledge or look into or believe. So we don't talk about it. After my aunt that raised me till I was 12, after she died, I had called him and he didn't call me back. Then when I finally talked to him a little bit, a lot of time went by. And like I would check on him and his wife during COVID and stuff like that because they're older and I wanted to make sure they were okay. And I wanted so desperately to have my connection with some sort of family, some sort of bloodline. I wanted to feel like part of something. And because I idolized my uncle so much all these years, I thought that he would be a good person. I just automatically thought because he's successful, because he's wealthy, because he's good looking, that means he's a great person. And really, it doesn't. It doesn't mean he's a great person. Because I was talking to my aunt, who is his wife, on the phone, and I've really grown to love her. I mean, we talk probably maybe once a week, and she's just a very kind person. And she's like, oh my God, I'd love to see you and everything. And, you know, I was going to fly up there when I saw my friend Kim, who has Alzheimer's, who's in a memory care center. I was going to, you know, rent a car and maybe drive a couple hours the other way and go to see them. But when I'm talking to her on the phone, she says to him, hey, your niece is on the phone. You want to say hi? And he's like, no. And she goes, come on, what's wrong with you? It's your niece, Tracy. Don't you want to say hi? And he's like, no. So I've just been completely rejected. My uncle is also a total narcissist. He doesn't care about me at all. And it's really, really hurtful. It's really hurtful because here is a man whose picture I saw on the wall in my grandparents' home. My grandparents that I used to visit since I was a little tiny girl. It was a huge picture. It was probably, I want to say, 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. I mean, I'm just talking like huge on the wall, like they idolized him. And it was the first thing you saw when you walked in was the picture of my uncle. And it's just heartbreaking to me that he holds no value for me as a person in his life. At all. None. He doesn't value me at all. He can't even come to the phone and say hello. I find that to be very narcissistic. I find that to be very selfish. And to be honest with you, I'm really angry about it. I'm angry. I'm angry that I got screwed in the family department because my family has been really nothing but poison for me. It's been hurtful. And it continues to be hurtful. Why does it continue to be hurtful? Because like an idiot, I try to reach out to people that just don't give a shit. I feel like because we're related, I mean, my God, the man is in his 90s. And all I've ever wanted is to come over again and see him and his wife and hear some stories and gather up some photographs of when my mom and her sister were younger, before all the shit hit the fan, before all the abuse started, before I was in foster care, when they were young, living in Florida, there has to be something good out of all this crap. And I wanted to find that little gem, that little diamond in a pile of shit that's been my childhood. I wanted to find that glimmer of hope. I wanted to find something where I could look back and feel really good. I'm really angry. I'm really angry that he's so selfish and self-consumed that he can't extend an offer when I've said a couple times, would love to see you, would love to just have lunch or dinner with you guys. He won't come to the phone to even talk to me. He won't even come to the phone and talk to me. And his wife has apologized to me over and over and over for how he is. And you know, I've said I don't care, but I do. I care. Why should I care about somebody who is so narcissistic, who is so self-consumed, who is so all about himself? Somebody who didn't have relationships even with his own children. Why should I care? Because I thought that he was the glimmer of hope in our family. I thought he was better. When I saw who my mother and her sister were, and my biological mother, God bless her, I loved her. She was very, very, very neurotic. And I hadn't seen her in over 20 years, but when I found out that she passed away also, I contacted the pastor and I got her ashes and they're in my house. And let me tell you, when I was 12 and I would visit my biological mother when she was living in Hollywood, I loved her so much, you guys. I loved my biological mom and I loved my aunt when I was a kid growing up before she changed and got abusive and started drinking. I love them both. And when you start growing up and you find out who your family is and what's really going on, it's just heartbreaking and it's very, very hard to take. It's very, very hard. You know, I don't know why I do this to myself, why I hold any kind of dream or possibility that anything could be better. And I'm really kind of almost mad at myself. And I feel like I haven't even gotten a chance to tell him how hurtful this is. And even if I did, you guys, he's so into himself, into his own life, that he wouldn't even care. This is a person who doesn't even care to come to the phone to say hello to me. This is a person who his sister would bring home in the middle of the night when I was like a little girl and pull me out of bed and there would be a room full of strange men and I would be in my nightgown and she would throw me on the stool in front of the piano and have me entertain everybody and play the piano for these guys. Some random guys that she would pick up at a nightclub. This is the man whose sister was buying plum wine by the case and drinking it morning till night. This is the man whose sister would leave me when I was 12 for sometimes a week at a time, just completely by myself, didn't check to see if there was food, didn't call to see if I was okay. She was all about herself. And he's the same way. And even though her sister was sweeter, my biological mother, again, all about themselves. Total narcissism. I feel like I needed to say this to get this off my chest. I feel like I just wanted to unload this into my podcast. And I don't want to hold any hope anymore. I don't want to hold any hope. Because he's going to die. He's like 93. And all the stories, even if they're fake, all the stories of my family will fade away. Any goodness that was there, which obviously wasn't a lot. And it's all going to go away. And I'm going to have no good last memories of seeing him, which is all I wanted, was to be able to spend a couple days with them. Now, she would love to see me. She would love for me to come up. But why would I want to make all that effort when he doesn't care? They're not inviting me to stay at their huge house. I would have to pay for a hotel and everything. Why would I go out of my way? And I've put in so much effort into talking with her and feeling bad for her because she's stuck in a situation where she's really unhappy. My aunt that's married to him, she's really unhappy because a lot of her friends have died and she doesn't have a lot of family. And she calls me and she considers me her niece. And I consider her my aunt and we have a relationship on the phone. And that's it. She's a plane flight away. And she's 80. And, you know, I had this kind of like dream that they were going to get back to me and have me come up and stay at their house. And we'd go out for dinner and, I don't know, play cards, that we would go through family photos. And I could pretend just for a couple days that I came from a normal family. But it's all pretend. It is all pretending, because nothing is normal about what I've been through. Nothing is normal about my family. Nothing is normal about my biological father, who got this woman pregnant, who was my biological mother, and then leaves when I'm a baby and then signs me over for adoption because he doesn't want to be bothered, and then has another daughter and then leaves when she's an infant. And then has another daughter and then leaves when she's an infant. And then has a son and signs him over for someone else to adopt him and never even acknowledges that he is his son. Nothing is normal about these people. Nothing. And I hate it. I hate it. I don't know how I made it out without completely being like a drug addict or going completely crazy from everything I've been through, other than my strong belief in God, my incredible relationship with my husband, who knows all about this, who's been completely supportive of me from day one, which in March will be 40 years. He is such a blessing in my life. I don't think I could have lived through all this pain and everything I've gone through if it wasn't for him. I just don't think I could have. I just think I would have been done. And now what I need to do is I need to give up any hope of getting those photographs of when they were cute little kids before they became, you know, selfish, grown-up human beings, and shit on me. That's what I need to do. I need to give up the hope. Yeah. I still look at the picture of my other uncle, who's my biological father's brother, Stephen, who I love very much and did have a good relationship with. I got to meet him when I was 18 years old, and he was funny. He was warm. He was sweet. He was really into himself, too. But he was a much more loving person. I got to spend a lot of time with him the year before he died of brain cancer. And I really cherish that. And I can't believe now My Uncle Steven's been gone almost 19 years. And I was really hoping that I could see my other uncle that's still alive and that he would show some spark of interest. But you know what? He can't even fake it, you guys. He can't even fake it. Yeah. So what I want to tell you is, if you're dealing with narcissists in your family, they don't change. They will continue to hurt you because that's what they do. They're poison. They will continue to hurt you. And by you having any kind of hope that they're going to change or understand you or love you or want to be with you or treat you fairly or respect you or reach out to you, just give up that dream. Just give it up. Just give it up and move on to something else. I don't know what to say. I feel very sad right now. I feel very sad about the conversation I just had with my aunt. Because my aunt kept telling me all these years, I have nobody, you know, like, you're my niece. Like, there's nobody else. There's nobody. There's no family. And now she just told me she has cousins that occasionally come by and have stayed at the house. Okay, well, that's news to me. And I was spending a lot more time, too, with her on the phone because I really thought that she had no one and she was all alone and I felt so bad and I wanted to be there for her. But I just need to pull back from the situation because it's hurtful. And she always has to bring up my family, how much she hated his sister. She always brings it all up. And for me, it all comes up. You know, I can't hear about how horrible his family is anymore because I lived it. I can't hear about any of it. And I hope she gets out. I hope that he dies before her and she can sell the house and she can go move to like where her friends are and she could have a good life. She's already 80. And I feel like right now she's just very alone and living like in the middle of nowhere. And he controls everything. And I think it's just really sad. But I need to take a big scissor and like cut any kind of umbilical cord I have with this family at all. I need to be done. I need to be done. Any pictures that I would have gotten, they're not going to change anything that happened. Any cute stories that he's going to tell me is not going to butter over all the abuse and all the horrible things that I went through. Nothing. Nothing he could say or do would help. So I need to let this go. And as I'm talking to you, I am like putting him on a boat and I am cutting the cord, the rope, and I'm sending him down the river and I don't want to think about him ever again. If he dies, he dies. I'm not going to feel bad. I did everything I can to be a supportive person. I've done everything I can. And she appreciates it, my aunt. Like when I called and checked on them during COVID, does he appreciate it? No. He doesn't want to be bothered. I'm the only one in the family that has never asked him for a dime financially. Ever. Nothing. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who has not been calling because I want them to do things for me financially. All I've wanted is love, respect, and some time. And he can't do it. He can't do it, and I need to let it go. So anyway, if you're suffering with people like this in your life, what I could tell you is cut the cord. Cut the freaking rope. Stick him in a boat and let him go down the river mentally in your mind. there's no reason to hold on to these people that are so hurtful. And why do we get the bad end of the stick? Why didn't we get a loving, terrific, wonderful family? I don't know. I've read sometimes where they say God, you know, before you're born, that God lets you choose who your family is. No way. I never would have chosen this because I got it on both sides. I just would not have ever chosen this. But my gem, my diamond that I talk about, my diamond is God, and my diamond is my husband and my husband's sister, who's a beautiful person, and other people, friends that care about me, and all this family crap. I'm done. Anyway, you guys, you're not alone in the suffering. Even after all these years, my heart is still hurting at times, like today. It hurts. But I want to tell you that I'm sending you love and light, and you're not alone in this crazy thing we call life. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Hi Guys, Real Talk with Tracy.